welcome to chapter 87 of Memoirs of a White Guy. Today is a guest episode with a very good friend of mine, Mr. Josh Wade. Josh has been on the podcast before. This is his second appearance on Memoirs of a White Guy. If you haven't heard the first one, go listen to that first, because that's where we kind of talk about, how Josh got into comedy. He's a stand-up comedian, and now I would say primarily genius/businessman is how I would describe Josh. He's one of my more, definitely like the most interesting friend of mine, I think, which is why I wanted to get him on again. Because since we last spoke, he's moved into some different worlds of he started his own business, which is already going great guns. And he's touring people now, not only himself, he's running other people's tours, and he's quite an interesting person. So we also go on to talk about the mainstream media, the future of TV and radio. We talked about his chat more how he got to know Chappelle Corby, which is super interesting. Once she got back to Australia, he's been in contact with her and has met her a fair few times and stuff. I think they're friends. But anyway, we talk about that. It's quite interesting. So yeah, this is one of the more insightful conversations that has ever been had on this podcast. So I'd highly recommend you give it a listen, even if you don't know who Josh is. I'll be back next week just talking smack. And yeah, I've got some shows coming up still. Two shows left of the tour, Brisbane and Sydney. Brisbane, the first show is sold out, but the second one is filling up pretty quick, so I get on that. And I think that one's definitely going to sell out. So don't wait if you're planning to come. And Sydney, get on that shit too. Doing Giant Dwarf Theatre, it's going to be the biggest show I've ever done. I'm going to be taping the show, doing a live taping of the show. So I'd love for it to be packed out for that. And yeah, two shows left coming up in 2 to 3 weeks now. Enjoy this chat with Josh, and I'll see you guys next week. This conversation was recorded at the end of the Comedy Festival, by the way, so about a month ago. So if anything we say references a time period then that's why. Josh Wade, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Second time round.
Yeah.
You're back.
I'm back, baby.
The reason why I got Josh back is because since last year, it's almost been a year to the day that we recorded the last time you're on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was at the Comedy Festival last year.
Yeah, we did it. Around this time.
And since then, you have evolved more than, I don't know, a fucking Blastoise. I regret doing that joke, guys.
Was that a Pokemon?
It reference? Was.
I liked Pokemon, but
not enough to laugh. I didn't at like that joke.
I
and I suppose the joke didn't make sense anyway, because Blastoise is the final evolution.
Is
of
it?
The Squirtle.
Okay, you know way too much. The Blastoise. Is the
there would have been people
evolution.
Like listening to that going, "You fucked the joke anyway, dickhead."
The Blastoise is the final evolution of Squirtle. Yeah. Those words just came out of
me. Yeah, it did.
Squirtle.
Squirtle. Fuck you. Anyway, you've evolved.
Yes. I was Squirtle, now I'm Blastoise. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, you're welcome, man. Alright, that's the end of the podcast.
Thank you,
guys.
See you.
I think that's the worst start.
That's
ever.
Okay. That's it's who gives a fuck.
Alright. So since last year, we talked about your go listen to the last time's podcast, by the way. If you're just tuning in now, if you're new to the podcast since last year, which many of you might be, stop, go listen to last year's podcast with Josh. We talked about your earlier career, YouTube videos, how you started comedy, blah, blah, blah. And now, I think you're doing something completely different. Mm. Well, you're heading in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say you're transitioning.
Yeah. Yeah. It is 2018.
Yes.
And I will be transitioning on this very podcast.
Yes.
We are in Melbourne. So
we are, and it's a very progressive environment. We're in your hotel room in Melbourne, and someone... Yeah, so, you know. Anyway, it's...
Don't say anything to make you lose.
No, I won't.
Let's move on from the train stuff.
So, I wanted to start off with, this is your last stand-up show this year.
Yeah.
Forever? Do you reckon?
Oh, who knows?
Who knows? But for now.
Nothing, never say never.
Right.
They said that in wrestling a lot, and I'm a massive fan. Did I talk about wrestling in our last podcast?
Yeah, you did. See, that's so weird.
So that's the thing.
When you said never say never, you thought of wrestling.
Yeah.
I thought of the Justin Bieber song. And that's the difference.
But they're both just as bad.
Yeah.
As well.
That's the difference between Josh and I. Pokemon references, Justin Bieber. You're like, yeah, wrestling's
wrestling.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never say never. But, yeah, I mean, this is all I know. This is all that I've done for such a long time.
I've been doing it since you're 18.
Well, yeah, professionally. like, I mean, didn't have a, this was my job full time from 18. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I started trying other things and, I guess figured that I could put my, I don't know. You know what it's like when you're a funny person, right?
Yeah.
You are. And,
I try to be.
Oh, we all fucking try.
I know.
But, like, you end up... It's hard when comedy becomes your job, or, like, the thing that you actually really love to do, like, that you actually get enjoyment from, becomes, like, okay, now I need to use this so I can buy food.
Yeah, it's scary. And that was the moment where it becomes real. There's a moment where it, like, hits and you're like, this is all I've got.
Yeah.
And it's like, if this doesn't work out, I'm not going to be on the street.
Yeah, that used to terrify me a lot. That literally, still terrifies me. Those thoughts of like, if I don't have this...
How did I get out of this chair? I'm going to sit on the bed. Okay, too close.
If I don't get out... I'm fucked. If I can't do this, I can't afford anything. And then I started going through, well, fuck, like, what sort of life do I want to live? Like, you know, we sit around and we go, what sort of house do we want? What sort of family would we like? You know, all those aspirations that we have. And I always thought that, for me, comedy would have to be the only way to get it. I wasn't academically smart enough to be a doctor or something like that. So I was like, well, the only key that I have to get that life is comedy. And then it becomes your job, and then you're earning money from it. And your money, your income, most people forget about this, and maybe this will humanize it to people that are watching. But for people like Luke and I, to make money relies on making ticket sales. And the only way you make ticket sales, for us at least, is by putting out content regularly and that hoping that one of them goes viral every now and again, so you sort of stay in the front of mind of people.
Yeah, and also creating consistent content to keep around the people who you've already got on, such as this.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's why I drove 50 minutes to the city.
I appreciate it.
do a podcast with Josh, because I was like, oh, it's content.
You got to do it. You've got to do it. And so the thing is like, you keep doing it, you keep doing it, and... eventually it just got to a point, for me at least, where I was like, well, fuck, okay. A lot of this as well came back to I wasn't the jock, I wasn't anything. I was identified in school as the funny person. So a lot of it was an approval thing. Like, I was constantly looking for more likes. What can I do next that people will go, you're really funny, you're really funny. Yep. And I was getting that dopamine hit of likes and comments and the praise of it all.
Yep.
But the praise of you're a funny cunt just started to wear off, and I was like, okay, well, it doesn't mean that I'm making any more money, or it doesn't mean that I go to bed happier. I've still got a dog that shits on my fucking carpet and pisses on me. Like, I've still suck with chicks right now. Like, you know, there's so many variables in life that doesn't seem to fulfill the hole that I thought it was going to fulfill. So then I started going down, I mean, I spent a lot of time smoking weed and wasted a lot of time as well. But probably one of the best things I ever did was to get that part of my life out of me, because now I'm clear and I'm free, and I'm like, fuck, okay, I know what I have to do. I'm figuring out who I am, what I want to be in this world, because, you know, I heard someone say it once, you're going to die. And I was like, fuck.
As in, you didn't know before that person said
it. Well, I knew, but I was like...
What a shit way to find out you're not immortal.
Yeah.
Some guy just told me once, you gotta die, and I just fucking threw up my whole day.
Yeah. But you know, the way that he said it, like, hit me. I was like, okay, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck, okay, I'm gonna die, and this is it. Is this what I truly want? Is it materialistic? Am I trying to chase things that I don't actually get fulfillment in? Like, I wanted fame, I wanted fortune, I wanted all those different things, because I thought that would fulfill that void in my heart. You get that tiny hit of it, tiny, like, you know, you know what it's like. People come to your show, they get a photo with you, but in the real world, you're walking down the street, no one gives a fuck about you.
Yes.
The lady at Target isn't going to give you a discount, right?
Yeah.
So...
Happened once at a cake shop.
Good. That's good. Cake shop. Yeah. Was it a good cake?
It was a muffin. So. Okay. You know, I didn't even really exploit it for all it's worth. I could have bought a whole cake. I didn't realise until I got to the counter that the person had seen a viral video of mine and was like, you get a discount.
Should have got a cake. Yeah. I got a free grilled burger once, which was great, because I fucking hate grilled. And I thought, there is no way in this God's green earth that I'm ever going to pay for one of your shit burgers.
So you went in there just in the hope that the person behind the counter had seen a viral video from 2012.
He came up to me and he goes, can you put us grilled in your video? And I'm like, no. I was like, get fucked. Like, why would I want to do that? Like, I hate your burgers. And he's like, he was just the promotional guy, like, the front head.
Like, in your fucking...
And he's like, I'll give you a $60 voucher. And I'm like, fucking fine, whatever. I'll take your fucking money. $60, that's all I need.
And did you end up putting the thing in a video?
Nah.
Oh, you just took the voucher.
Fuck him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit burger. Fucking, I got one up on you. I won. I got paid $30 to eat that burger because it literally cost me $30 to have avocado chip.
I went there the other day because it's one near the radio station, and I've never been back because it cost me $18 to get a burger.
Yeah.
And I was like, why am I paying $2 for cheese?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheese is just part of a burger.
Yeah.
It just pissed me off. Yeah, grilled sucks.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind the taste of it. I just think it's way too expensive.
Way too expensive. Yeah. And the thing is, now there's so many of these different burger places. Grilled was just right place, right time when it first started. Yeah. Now there's a million of them, like...
Yeah, and then all sorts of chain. Like, you don't need to...
It's like McDonald's. Like, it's actually, like...
Yeah.
It's worth... I'd rather just go to McDonald's, get the shit burger, and get it out of the road.
Yeah, and it costs you, like, a third of the...
amount. I had 20... just here, last... If you could see that table over there before the cleaners came in, I got 20 nuggets last night. Oh, it was a mess. 20 nuggets, a double quarter pounder. Have you ever had a double quarter pounder before? You've never had a double quarter
pounder? No, I haven't, because I've never had a heart attack. There's a direct correlation with having a double. Did you have a stroke this morning when you woke up? Passed out in the shower. See, that's a risk. I wouldn't have done that.
Really?
And 20 nuggets and a double quarter pounder.
Yeah, and a
strawberry
sundae.
That's a blood clot waiting to happen. That is. That's fucked, dude.
You're consuming a blood clot direct to the stream.
Yeah.
How the fuck did we get to that?
We're talking about how no one gives a fuck about you and you walked into Grilled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah.
You get that dopamine of fame, of of the people who directly like your stuff who come to the show.
Yeah.
You're walking down the street, no one cares.
None of it matters. So I just started to get a little bit underwhelmed with the thing. I thought, oh, fuck, maybe I fell in love, and this is a thing a lot of people do. Maybe I fell in love with the idea of being a famous stand-up comedian and doing that, but when you're actually doing it, it's a lot different. And at the end of the day, this all just comes back to what I want my life to be and the things I want, the family that I hope for, and all these different things. I guess it comes back to the only way for me to achieve it is to keep jumping up and down on Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Mm.
And I hated sitting there at home going, fuck, I haven't released something that's gone really viral in a long time.
Mm. Yeah, and there's a pressure too. And then when you're under pressure, the chances of then releasing a viral video is not high because you're putting yourself under all this pressure.
So
because your bank account relies on it.
Exactly. So 4 years of doing that, and I went, all right, I get the space. Yeah. I understand it. And I would confidently say I get it probably more than most people the back end.
Well, yeah, if you don't know, Josh has almost a million likes, like 800,000.
But no,
likes.
I don't care about that.
I know you don't care about it, but I'm just saying you clearly understand how to go viral, how to connect with people, because you gained a huge following really quickly.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying that matters to you.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Josh understands it better than anyone.
Well, I've always been really proud of the fact, and I'll say it, I've always been really proud of the fact that the way that I've always either sold a show or whatever, I was always the first one that had done it that way. And then people sort of followed suit. The way that I would put my advertising on, like no one was ever doing anything like that 3 or 4 years ago, the way they would, you know, make the posters and the dates would be on the side and then the cover photo. Like, no one was doing that at all. No, God, no. It was like doing, like, I remember back in the day I'd do street interviews. And I had a very special style where I'd have like an EDM track in the background and I'd have my little
thing.
No one used to do that either. No one used to, like, I was very smart.
Your social, like, medias down below.
Yeah,
and stuff.
People take that shit for granted now, but I go, fuck, okay, I can actually look back and go, all right, I thought of that.
Yeah.
And then people followed suit, which is great. I would never say that's copying or anything.
But it's just a good idea.
Yeah.
It's stupid now if you don't do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It set a pretty good precedent of, oh, this is working.
Yeah.
Let's do the same thing.
So what I'd like to do is, I understand that I like show business. I love show business, but I think I like the business side more. And I think business is the 90% of it.
And before, when you said that I was doing it for the fame and fortune and stuff, is that really did you not do it for the love of
it? No, I did love, like, you know.
Or were you actually doing it for, like, I want to be the biggest comedian and thus the fame? You wanted the fame that went with it.
No, I think I liked the idea of walking a red carpet, though. I thought, like, that was a nice bonus.
I went to a movie premiere recently. It's
They're very underwhelming.
They're very underwhelming.
Yeah.
If you're watching this going, that sounds exciting. It's not. It's shit. It's everyone there's a wanker. And I met four people who have been on Home and Away in the past.
Yeah.
And I went, great. Nice. Awesome.
It's like people that sit in premium economy on a plane, like an international flight.
It's like, you can't afford business. Fuck off.
Yeah. No, but they're above in the shit. Like, they... If you sit in premium economy on a fucking 10-hour flight or something, you're a fuckwit because you want to be seen above everyone. At least if you walk into business, everyone's like, oh, good, you made it. Premium economy is like, I'm better than everyone, I need you to know. I don't know, I just got a thing against premium economy, but...
I got a thing against paying anything extra on airlines. Whenever, like I fly Tiger, right, because I'm a baller, and whenever it asks me, like, oh, do you want to pay $3 to queue jump, any of these extra things, you click through the Tiger thing, that's how they make their money, because the flights are so fucking cheap. They make all their money off, like, do you want a meal? Do you want queue jump? Do you want to pay ticket insurance?
Yeah.
All this shit. And then if you tick all these things, the flight will end up costing,
business class, Qantas
like,
flight,
as much as a Qantas flight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hate all that shit. Like, why would you pay, this is my argument, why would you pay money to go on a plane first, to queue jump, then you have to sit on the plane and wait for everyone else to go on?
I totally
agree. That's the most stupid, that's the stupidest service I've ever seen. I hate sitting on the plane.
It's like cunts that fucking speed past you or overtake you, and then you meet them at the red light. You're like, we're both here. Like,
you achieved nothing, but I hope you're proud of yourself.
We weren't going to leave without you. Yeah. You're in the line. You'll get your turn.
I wait till the very last minute, until final boarding. Yeah. Sometimes I wait till my name gets called just to be an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck it, I'm not waiting on the plane.
Yeah. I want my own special invitation.
Yeah.
Private invitation.
Exactly. And I'm like, I don't have to pay $3 for that.
I got a fucking,
I got a free name. And also, I'm like, it'd be good if they just said my, you know...
Yeah, ticket performing link. Live.
Also, tickets are lukeyjob.com.
On his way to Sydney, so if you're on the plane, you're on the way to Sydney.
Go check it out. Giant dwarf.
You'll see him walking on. Yeah. Look, I love airlines. I'm a big... you've really started me on something.
Well, you fly all the time.
I play the points thing.
Josh flies once a week.
I'm platinum member, and I'm very, very proud to say it.
I don't know how you afford to go on it. You probably fly more than you drive.
Oh, I definitely would have.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah, because I only just started driving.
Well, that's insane.
Yeah. But, so the points game is fun. So if you play the points game, so I've got an Amex, which I need to pay off. If you're watching, I will pay. they ring me all the time. like, come on, this month.
Is that just like a credit debt? Is that what that is?
The credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're just credit cards. Right. But, like, when you buy the flights with Virgin, it's going to bore the fuck out of some people, but other people, you can... So, I got an $8,000 business flight for $50, like from Europe, a 24-hour flight, full business class for
just
$50.
Just
because
you've accumulated so many points.
Yeah.
And then do you lose all those points?
No. It cost me 100,000 points. I had 200,000 points. I got the credit card. If you get the credit card, you get 100,000 points if you spend $3,000 in the first month. So if you're out there and you need to buy a laptop or something, all I did was buy like a new fucking computer or something like that, bought that, and then... I had the money already. I just transferred it onto the card, so I spent nothing. Like, I just used the card to buy it. Get $100,000 points, 100,000 points, and then get a $50.
So then you end up saving money on the flight.
A shitload of money. Yeah. I get a $50 flight in business class because I fucking bought a laptop that I was already going to buy. Like, you can play the game.
Playing the game.
Yeah, it's good. It's like chess.
Mate, this is what I mean. You hustle. Okay, so, getting into... So, this... I went to watch your show last night, right? Yeah. It's your last stand-up show.
Yeah.
And tonight... Is tonight... Or are you doing Sydney after this?
I'm doing Sydney, yeah.
And then...
I wish I had 5 nights in Sydney before I came here.
Right.
I think that'd be... And it's a nice room in Sydney. It's about 150.
Okay.
See, it's nice and intimate.
Because you're doing quite a big room in Melbourne. You're doing the Comic Sans.
Yeah, and it gets full.
Very big comic club. Yeah, you filled up to the back last night. And, what'd you say? Thank God, because you need the money.
Yeah. I got a laptop to pay off.
So once you finish, so this is the last. It's called the Woke Bloke. It's the last stand-up tour. Mm. What's next for Josh Wade?
Well, firstly, the Woke Bloke thing was last year, and as Luke would know, like basically I finished a tour up last year. At about the end of September, and then like literally 2 weeks after that, the phone call comes and it's like, hey, what's your show going to be called next year? We need posters. And it's like, oh, are you fucking kidding? Like, can I just sit down for 1 second?
Yeah,
I've just become really good. And the thing about Melbourne is people start here and it's like, like or they, you know, it's the early part of the year for the festival and yeah. the shows and that, and you know how
some people do do Adelaide before like Fringe and stuff.
Well, yeah, it does
I always
help.
Start in Melbourne. I actually want to start somewhere else. Because I feel like the
this
first...
This is the worst place to start.
The first show in Melbourne... Yeah, it's where my biggest fan base yeah. is. I sell probably four times the amount yeah. I do in Melbourne than any other city.
And they get the shit version of
yeah.
it. And then you finish at the end.
And then it's amazing with, like, by yeah. the time you get to Sydney or
the
whatever.
Only time you've ever seen me perform is when it's been fucking awful.
No.
Because, like, at the start.
No, not at all. I've seen you...
I would
you,
absolutely say so, yes.
No, I saw the Cunning Show five times. I
oh,
opened
yeah.
for one of
oh,
them.
Oh, yeah, you did too.
Maybe two.
Okay.
Oh, I opened for you in Melbourne.
Yeah,
we're
Geelong.
At the start. So, but even at the Lithuania
yeah,
Club,
yeah.
I opened for you for like four times in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And that was when the show was beginning.
Yeah.
And then you did it in Geelong. And that's when, like, I had seen the show for about 3 months. You'd been
yeah.
touring it. Then the show got really good. And then I saw you again at the Toff. You did another Melbourne run of the same show.
Yeah, four.
Four.
Two a night.
So you did eight
nights.
Shows in Melbourne for with that show.
Yeah.
But just in different times of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I saw it at the end. So I have seen you.
But that week of my life was Melbourne back to back for one night, then Melbourne again back to back, and then we flew up to Townsville, did Townsville, so it's five shows,
yeah.
and then we did Gold Coast and Lismore. I did seven shows
yeah.
in a week.
And the show was...
In 5 days.
The show was great.
Oh, fucking killed me by the end of it. Like, I've never felt so much relief. In the very last show, Chappelle Corby was there, which was just the best thing in the world.
Yeah. Do you reference her on the show?
No.
I reference her in this year's show.
Good.
Well, yeah. You watched it. Actually, I remember, because you're like, would you say you're not friends with Chicago? Or are you
I'd
friends?
Say,
I don't
know. I'd say, like,
you
we,
know
we,
her.
We speak, like,
yeah, you know
WhatsApp.
Her. Do you? I see
yeah.
you got each other's like, phone number.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So you got Chicago.
It's a very odd thing, but yeah.
And how did that come about? You did a video about her.
Yeah. I mean, I preach about this a lot, saying, dude, like, if, like... This was, like, I made a video about it when she got out of jail, and I didn't really know anything about the what even happened. All I was annoyed by it was, like, oh, my God. Like, the fucking cricket thing. I was like, shut up about this shit.
Yeah.
Like, none of it matters.
Yeah.
And I made the video, and as I was... You know when you're making a video, like, I got in the car, I went to Brisbane, and I wrote it in the car, and it was just coming through. I'm like, this is a hit. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
This is going to be... I really need this. I really need to be able to prove myself not being... in a high bid, not playing Bogan, but like just Josh flat out, I'm fucked off and this is why.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had something, I knew it was gold, and it turned out, it probably was actually one of my biggest videos that I've ever
yeah,
done. Because I was like,
it went
well,
huge at the time.
Yeah, it was really good. And
it was
anyway,
just about the media and how much they just, pretty much what you said,
yeah,
but how much
yeah.
they shut on about the
yeah.
the Chappelle Corby
yeah.
thing when she came back to Australia.
Yeah, just like total hypocrisy. Anyway, about that night, I remember waking up at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I look at my phone and I'd seen, because she only had Instagram, and I'd seen that she'd followed me on Instagram, and she sent me a message saying, you know, I just saw your video, very funny. I also watched your 60 Minutes one, that was very funny as well. And I'm like, what is going on right now? Because the whole idea of the video as well was, it was just reverse. I didn't think she would reply. All I thought was, this is topical. It is... it has... What?
You knew she was going to see it if it went well.
No,
dude,
not really.
Everyone, like, when, for example, when I make...
She's not human to most people. Like, at the time, like, she's not actually a real person, surely. Like, you know, you have
you
that
You know
weird
that,
because
you've met famous people, and I know that. You know what I mean? Like, I've...
I know, but you don't think it. But the whole idea was, literally, I'm telling you right now...
I knew
was,
as soon as I saw it, I was like, she's going to see this.
I just started a podcast.
Yeah, okay.
And the whole idea was, like, I can make a really good rant
yep.
and reverse engineer it to just be simply ad for my podcast.
Yep.
So that's because I came up with the line of Cones with Corby instead of Conspiracy, which was the name of my
yeah.
podcast. I went, fuck, all right. That was that's what spiraled the whole video. I was like,
yeah.
I can make a rant that references the podcast at the end, tell her to come on my podcast.
Yeah.
People will go check out the podcast even though she's not on there.
Yeah.
So it was all just like a... I mean, it was...
I know, but I knew when watching that she's going to see it and she's going to like it.
Yeah, well, she saw it and then... yeah, we just talked back and forth. And then when she came to the show, whole family came, had a really good night. And like, her story is wild. If you ever actually go look into it, it's fucking like a mess.
Well,
like,
yeah.
She didn't do it, but...
Really?
That's, no, God, no. Now, I went and looked into it. Once she started talking to me, I was like, what the
but,
fuck actually happened here?
Wait, and are you willing to talk about it? No,
I will not talk about it. You can go look for it yourself. It's online, but...
Right. Is there stuff that says that proves that she doesn't do it?
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
So I've never had an opinion on it because I've never looked into it.
No.
So
well, that's the thing.
Most people just jump to an opinion. Because, but I'm just like, look, I don't know if she did it, man. I've never researched it.
I've never cared. But anyway, I don't know how we got... Oh, yeah, but the last show was really good, but it was such a relief at the end of that show. It was easily my biggest audience that I've ever had before. It was probably between 500 and 600 people.
Whereabouts?
Gold Coast.
Gold Coast?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you're from.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm not from that.
That's where you live currently.
Yeah. And I got
a
standardization...
You put 600 people on the Gold Coast?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's huge.
It was big. It was a big
show. Oh, I mean, it was a show doing a Bogan character. If there was any way you were going to do 600 people, it's Queensland.
But I put a lot of promotion and hard work into going. Yeah. I knew I chose a big room because I was like, I'm going to work hard to
fill this.
It's the last one.
Yeah.
It's the last time I'm ever playing that character that people are synonymous with.
Can I say
that
I think you built up that character in your head? Like, it was all people weren't coming for Cunny, they were coming for you.
Yeah.
I think in your head you were like, oh my god, people just know me for this high vis top video
I don't know, maybe you're right.
But I maybe I'm different because I just knew you as Josh. Like, and I felt like everyone else was like, nah, Josh Wade. Because, for example, I don't think Shooter that used to do a lot of high vis whatever, bogan stuff.
I think everyone's done it.
And like, I don't think everyone knew him as... Some people knew him as the loosest Aussie bloke, but I don't think everyone knew Alex as that. People were just like, yeah, Alex Williamson, funny guy, Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe people were like, I want to see Josh Wade? What's his show? All right, he's doing this character, we'll go because I like Josh Wade. I think people are going because they like Josh Wade.
I think so. I think...
Not because they like this fucking version of you.
I think people... Because what I always liked about Cunny as a character was... he could say something that was... I've always find dumb people saying smart things quite funny. Like, I like that juxtapose of...
Yeah.
Cunny saying something and the reaction being, fuck, that was so fucked up the way that you put that, but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
There was sort of like a... Or you could say he would get away with saying outrageous things because Josh would seep through and give a little bit of a grin. Like a nod to like, I'm taking the piss out of this type of person. I'm not.
So you liked playing the character?
I liked that element of it, but I was worried that maybe... Well, firstly, it was overdone. Everyone's done it. Everyone has done that
sort of thing.
But through all time, not just through the internet, but like Australians just have this synonymous thing with the battler. All comedians. I mean...
The castle.
The castle, fucking Barry Humphries does Les Patterson.
Yeah.
It goes through time. Bob Hawke.
Bob Hawke, still a battler.
Hogan, Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan, yeah.
You know, all of it, it's all been done before, and then it was our phase to go through and do it, and then I was like, okay, well, you know, I've been a champion in this with a bunch of other people, but I think, for me anyway, it's a bit unfulfilling now.
Yeah.
So it was all a bunch of things happening at once.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well.
But I think this year shows that, like, you know, the amount of people came into your show last night, people are still coming for Josh Wade.
Yeah, well, I think what the podcast has done for me, and I think you'll understand this.
If you don't know, Josh Wade has a very successful podcast, now called The Josh Wade Show. Yeah. Last time it was on
very
the podcast,
creative.
It was called Conspiracy.
Conspiracy, yeah.
And, yeah, so you've changed it just because did you want to start the Josh Wade brand?
Well, no, I mean, the Josh Wade brand's, I guess, always a thing, but I changed it because, I mean, the whole idea was from the very get-go was we need to find a niche straight away.
Yeah.
What do I know a little bit of in my spare time? Oh, I can talk about some conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Not that I subscribe to any of them, but I found it fascinating, like reading a Harry Potter book or something. I found it, like, intriguing. I was like, ooh, I don't know.
Oh, like reading I thought you meant... You know, a conspiracy like Harry Potter. I was like, dude, that's not a conspiracy. That's fiction.
No, damn it. Look at the facts.
I thought you were calling, like, you know, like 9/11, moon landing,
Harry Potter.
Fire. Right.
Yeah. So I was like, we'll start there and then we'll transition over because we can get those people that are into that sort of stuff to come and watch that. But then also, as it went on, I started to realise that interviewing... you know, other comedians or musicians or whatever, those episodes were shit. Like, as in, not shit, but it never really got much interaction. And the only episodes that got interaction and people were fascinated by was real people that no one knew. And I was like, fuck, okay, maybe this is the direction that I need to take. Like, because people...
No one else is doing that.
Well, no one's reached... I mean, every one of these people that I've had on, like, I've had the sex worker, I've had people that have been addicted to crystal meth, I've had, like, a vast amount of all different people. Yeah. And I've never contacted any of them, ever. Like, it's always they've reached out to me and gone, hey, I want to share my story. And it's like, all right, well, we don't have anyone this week, so come
on. Who was the first person to reach out that wasn't like an influencer or
It was this guy named Sam who was an ice addict.
The ice addict. Yeah, I watched that episode.
And I knew nothing about it. I thought he was like past it and he was fine and like it was
was full on that episode watching it. I watched it and I couldn't stop watching it. I watched the whole thing and I was like, shit, this guy's story is crazy because he's in the story right now. Like, he was addicted.
The story's not over.
He was addicted to ice. He was desperately trying not to be addicted at the time of the recording. But you were like, when's the last time you did ice? And he said, like, 2 days or 2 weeks ago.
It was 2 days ago. It was 2 days ago. And that's
you were like, wait, should I even be doing that?
Yeah.
I felt like you looked at Connor, the guy who films your videos, and you were like, is this even morally, like, fucking right to do now?
But I think it was, I mean, like, even at the end, like, he left and I'm like, dude, like, are you sure? Like, I said, you got to understand there's going to be people that are going to watch this and they're going to have their own opinions of you. Like, you know, we're rough, you know, we've seen all the comments, we've done it all before. Like, for a random person to just go in, share the most deepest, rawest experience of their life, and I'm still in it. And then I'm going to put it out there.
I mean, I struggle sharing. Like, there's a thing that happened in my podcast recently where I didn't want to tell people the Year 9 band that I was in. Like that, because that's the most. And reading the comments of, you know, then now old videos of me and I playing guitar has surfaced onto you guys' feeds now on Facebook.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
Mm.
I couldn't even imagine, like, me playing guitar and, you know, I'm with a side fringe in it, like, with Vans on and a Vans t-shirt, right? Just, that's brutal to me, and I could not even imagine and I get hate comments of that, like, as a joke, and I was like, fuck, that hurts. But having actually sharing, I don't really have anything deep to hide, really, but, like, because I've had a very privileged, handsome memoirs of a white guy, but, yeah, I wouldn't know how that guy handled it after that. Did you speak to him, like, a couple of weeks after?
Yeah, oh, of course, like, it was like by that point, it was like a duty of care thing.
Yeah.
And I cared. I was genuinely invested. I was like, fuck, like, now I have a responsibility to make sure that you're okay and that, like, you can find some help. But at the end of the day, there's nothing I can really do. So, you know, we'd stay in contact through Instagram direct message, which is where he first got in contact with me. And I think from last reports, he's doing really well. And he moved back to the Northern Territory.
Awesome.
Got away from it all. And yeah, I just sort of came back to an environment thing. He just surrounded himself with the wrong
people,
and that addictive nature comes out. But yeah, so that was a wild episode. And then,
what's the favorite episode you've ever done?
I suppose I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but a fun one was the Jimmy Jackson Justin Ryan one.
Yeah, you did the live podcast. Yeah,
I didn't.
By the way, guys, bit insulted. I was on episode 2 of Josh's podcast, and you had ample time to say, "Hey, man, when you were on, that was great. Don't worry about it."
Wait, what?
I was on your podcast.
Yeah, he's on my podcast.
Yeah,
so
and you didn't say that episode.
Episode 2.
Yeah, but you didn't say that was your favorite.
Ah,
yeah.
Well, it was my favorite. I did say that Jimmy Jackson Justin Ryan one wasn't my favorite. It was a fun one, but my favorite one was obviously episode 2 with Luke Kidgel.
Yeah.
That
wasn't worth interrupting you for.
I don't know where I was going. I don't know what my favorite episode was.
They're all just
your favorite. Can't remember.
I really like the Reece Darby one you did. That was really
that was fun. Yeah, that was definitely interesting. And he opened up.
He did. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
And I learned stuff about him that I was like, oh, it's just interesting. Yeah. Go check out Josh's podcast. He has a lot of interesting guests on it. I would highly recommend giving it. And it's not necessarily, I don't think you're not going out there for it to be like a funny podcast. I wouldn't even say it's a comedy podcast.
No, I reckon you can just,
it's like a life podcast.
If you want to watch it, go watch it. I'm not, like, the thing is, and this is like the most freeing part about whatever the fuck I'm going through right now, is if you want to watch it, watch it. If you want to come along, come along. But, like, now my life doesn't depend on it. So it makes it a little bit funner now because it's so much more free. It's like, fuck, that bracing yourself for, like, fuck, this has got to work because if it doesn't work, I'm fucked. is gone now.
Because you've got a bunch of side hustles happening. No, not now. Comedy is a side hustle.
Yeah, I think it's always just... It's always something I'm going to do. I always love getting on stage. There's just that adrenaline, that thrill of like sitting behind the stage and sitting there going, why the fuck did I book this?
Yeah.
But you go out and you do it anyway. Yeah. And the range of emotions that you go through. Like, even if it sucks that night, you're like, fuck, this is the beauty of it, is that I could have the best show.
Well, there happened some nights in Melbourne that I was like, one night I was like, I wasn't feeling that. But people don't even know. You know what I mean? People don't realise. Like,
but you know what you're capable of.
I know what I'm capable of. Some nights people come, that was the best show, man. I can't wait for next year. And you're like, ah, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Take the photos, blah, blah, blah. Then on the way home, I'm like, didn't feel good about that. Yeah. Like, well, not good. I just didn't feel like that was my best. And then the next night, boom, come out. I feel like that was awesome. I smashed that. Really happy with that. And people's reactions are exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So the one thing I wanted to get to was, what are you doing now? So you're managing people.
Mm-hmm.
So Nate, you've moved into the business side of show business.
Mm-hmm.
What does that entail?
Well, I suppose there's that part, and then like advertising and marketing, and then. I suppose, what does that entail?
Yeah, like you're doing Isaac Butterfield's new tour.
Yeah, and I have
it. So you're booking all these shows and stuff for
him? Yeah, we book it all. We do all the artwork. We do everything. But for me, it's not necessarily the tour. I'm not interested in the tour. The tour is something he needs to do to be able to get out of his job.
Yeah.
So if I can provide the experience to be able to go, all right, well, let's get you out of your job. What I'm more interested in is building brands. I like the idea that you, me, and other people have sold nothing. We don't have any physical product to sell. All you're doing is building consumer confidence in a brand, a name of someone.
Yeah.
And then they come and buy tickets because they believe in you and who you are,
like,
and what
you're selling. Like Ed Sheeran, any entertainer, really.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't actually, I mean, except for t-shirts after the show, he doesn't actually sell anything physical except for 2 hours of enjoyment and singing songs to slow acoustic guitar. And I went and I paid my $150 and invested in essentially nothing. But at the same time, I left going, that was great.
Yeah.
But $150 well spent. Because for some reason, as human beings, we need an outlet of, I don't know what it is. We need to... It's like we want to invest in people.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, because it's the only tangible product. The only physical thing about what you have to sell is Luke Kidgel, the person in the human body.
Yes.
That's it. So,
Now these people watching are going to realise I'm selling nothing and going, why the fuck have I been buying these tickets for all these years?
They're buying you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's interesting. But
I also look at it. We were talking about this last night. I also think that I do sell a product because I work all year to create a show, which is worth seeing.
Yeah. I just mean you're not selling pens.
Pens.
Like,
I'm not selling
pens. That's not your business.
Yeah. But at the same time, I work 4 nights a week doing 5-minute spots around town. Man,
you have to work harder to sell
nothing. Yes,
that's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's true. To make nothing seem like something, then you have to work
really hard.
Because all it is my thoughts into a microphone.
I'm not going into...
I don't even sell the mic.
Well, yeah, exactly.
The venue keeps that.
Yeah, exactly. You just come in, be you, and leave. So, that I've also got... there's a musician. His name's Saint Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And he's about to release an EP. It's really good. He's going to be the biggest thing of all time. And you know when you say that, you say, oh, this is really good, and someone that you know goes, oh, good, man, like I'm happy for you. And in your head,
Josh,
you're like,
said that to me last night.
Yeah,
he's like, you, dude, you're going to be like the biggest thing of all time if you keep at it. And I was like, yeah, cool, man.
But
and I'm me.
Yeah.
And I was still like, all right, man.
I really mean it. I wouldn't fucking bother saying it. I
know you wouldn't.
I really wouldn't. Yeah. Like, if I don't like something, I'll very happily say that I don't like something.
Mm. So who is Saint Lane? What do they do? Is it a band?
Yeah, no, it's a dude. It's a dude. Yeah. He's a rapper, I guess, or I don't know if he really wants to be called that. A songwriter. He's just fucking good. And I'll show you some of his stuff after. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of like Kanye West mixed with Tame Impala. The machines behind him,
right?
Like, it's just like we're sitting on gold right now, and it's a really exciting world because I know nothing about it at all, and I'm on the phone like talking to people at Universal and stuff like that, and I've got no idea what I'm doing, while at the same time being so delusional that I'm like, fuck it, I've just got to do it. No, but
that's how you learn, because I did it, I was an idiot, and I did a 1 year of a course about music business. It was called a Bachelor of Music Business.
Yeah.
And the only thing I learned from that course was that there's no money in music business. Yeah. And also, if you want to be part of the music business, don't learn how to do it in a classroom. Go out to a fucking... Put on a gig.
Yeah.
Contact 4 bands you've seen on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Go, hey, I want to put on a show with you 4. Mm-hmm. Book a room. Sell tickets. Promote it. That's the only way to learn is by actually doing it.
Yeah.
I learned more organizing my own shows and my own tour and my own promotion and own marketing than I did doing a year of that course. Yeah. Yeah. And now I've got 13 grand of hex debt. Because I was...
Really?
Well, yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to do out of school.
Right.
And obviously everyone goes, like, you got to go to uni. And I just was a dickhead. That. I know, I'm against it now. But at the time, I was like, well, I don't know what I want to do. I guess I like music. I was in a band in high school. And then halfway through that year, I discovered that I wanted to do comedy. I went to a stand-up show, then started gigging and stuff.
Right.
And then by the end of the year, I was writing jokes in class, and I was like, why the fuck am I here?
So all you're essentially going through is... You had a... Like, we're going to go through multiple phases of that in our life, but you do something just to discover that you didn't want to do...
Yes, and it's important, and I'm glad I did it, because I
you probably did learn things that you've been able to translate into this world somewhat.
Yeah.
I fucking hope so. For 13 grand.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, it's all like I learned something about publishing and distribution. And
put it on an Amex. You'll be able to get a couple of hundred thousand points with that one.
But, yeah, it's like I did learn stuff, but what you're doing now, just complete, like you're new to this, you're working with music artists now. But you do know what you're doing because you've been doing shit for yourself. Organising a fucking rapper is no different to organising a comedian. You're just dealing with different people.
It's the exact same thing. He's not telling jokes. He's doing music.
Just doing music. You have to do is be there earlier for sound check.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's his thing. I'm not interested in helping him with the music. I'm interested in building the brand.
Yeah.
Because that's all that matters. That's why Paris Hilton can sell $1.4 billion of perfume and she doesn't know a fucking thing about perfume. Starts with the person and then it goes down like that.
And that just proves that people are fuckheads as well.
Possibly.
Proves what do you mean? Of course, possibly.
Proves that Paris Hilton's a fucking genius.
No, it
I think so. No, she's worth a lot of money.
I know. It proves that the person like you behind Paris Hilton is a fucking genius. I don't think it... I think she's got very good people. She's surrounded by people
she does.
Who are geniuses.
Well,
it's like the Kardashians. I don't think... Oh, they are almost geniuses. But like, they're you're right, they're literally selling nothing. They filmed them having breakfast and were like, watch it, bitch.
Yeah.
And everyone did.
What's interesting now in the world that we're living in now, and what I'm fascinated by in the next 10 to 20 years is, you know, we've got Netflix and all these different things now, but I probably consume more Instagram content and Facebook content than I do actual Netflix or anything like that. So we're all now, every single one of you that are watching, including us, are content creators, right?
Yeah.
You could be Sally in Toowoomba and you're putting something out there because you want... You know, people to see it. Now, I follow Sally from Toowoomba, and I've just realised that Sally's pregnant, and she's 21, and her boyfriend's just broke up with her. So now I'm experiencing a real-life reality show through her Instagram feed, right? So all we're doing now is we are all going to be the media empires and the media moguls ourselves, and we're only just going to be consuming each other's content.
Yeah.
Netflix will eventually dwindle down to just being blockbuster films. Right now, it's just full of everything. But we won't have enough time anymore to consume that sort of stuff. We'll just be consuming our own shit.
That's so everyone happening. Just consumes it. That, is that what you're...
That's literally what... That's happening.
Well, I know. And then, do you think there is still place left for people like me in that environment?
Yeah, there's going to be...
Because you're just going to be like, have more people consuming you than you're consuming
Except you'll be the professional version. You'll be the television and they'll be the Facebook thing. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. And television or, you know, free-to-air television is simply just going to be AM radio and the channels in the next 10 years will just slowly transition to just be 24-hour news.
Yeah.
That's what will happen there, absolutely. Like, it's just, it's happening. The world's changing. And it's so exciting. Because it's like you've no like, cunt knows.
I know, but it's like you've, like, got this, like, knowledge. It's like you've time traveled. I mean, like, you're sitting here...
I'm Matt Grimes.
You're sitting here real smug with all these predictions. Like, watch it happen. And you're right. I agree. You're actually right.
It's happening.
I know.
It's happening.
Do you think there's longevity left in radio as long as cars are still around?
Yep. Yep, absolutely. I think.
But as soon as we get driverless cars, then we'll be, you're right, consuming all our own content.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the commercials that kill it.
Yes.
It's the one thing that radio has to figure out how they can make more money from. And then that's when we look at the music industry and go, well, you know, why isn't music being more of the product placement as opposed to actual commercials? Why aren't the record labels paying the radio stations to play
so
their
I
music?
Thought that's how it worked. No, it it's not work. I worked that out when I you know, I started working radio, that yeah, it, that's not how it works at all. If anything, the radio just have like, the radio stations have like agreements with record labels, yeah, going like, hey, if we'll give you an interview with Ed Sheeran if you play Delta Goodrum's,
yeah,
new song.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like how it works.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no money deals happening. It's more just like, we'll keep just giving you our biggest acts. This,
yeah,
record label will keep pumping you the biggest acts when they come,
yeah,
to Australia.
Yeah.
Which the radio station needs to be like, Justin, mm-hmm, Bieber on the world famous rooftop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if they pay like this lesser artist song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how like the industry works.
Yeah.
But so, I thought it was money. I was like, oh, I bet you Delta Goodrum's record label pay this radio to play it.
I think
not
it's illegal to actually do that. I'm fairly certain it's
like
it's against
intellectual prostitution.
Yeah, so
law and intellectual property prostitution.
Yeah, the artist gets exposed because the music's out there, everyone's listening to it.
Yeah,
they sell more tickets to their live gigs, which is the only way an artist actually makes money, because the record labels and the deals there are absolutely abhorrent.
Yes.
And the radio makes their money by using the songs as the TV shows wrapped around the commercials.
Yes.
So the only
and there's also the shows like,
yeah,
us that are also in there. We are like 50% of the show.
Yeah.
And 50% of it is songs.
Yeah.
But they brand the show as like from 6 to 8, Luke and Lewis. But from 6 to 8 is not Luke and Lewis. 6 to 8 is ads, music, and a bit of Luke and Lewis in,
mm-hmm,
there.
Right, okay.
Which, yeah, I feel like, you know what I mean, but they don't want people to focus on the music and ads. They want people to be like, look, there's a show on, it's like TV or whatever.
I think radio will slowly go more like streaming-esque, where your show will play and you'll play music, and instead of there being a bunch of ads mixed up in that, you'll just have, you know, like Spotify, if you've got a free account, it'll play a pre-roll or a mid-roll or whatever,
yeah,
every now and then. That's how it will go, because it'll,
yeah,
all go,
yeah,
it won't be antenna or digital, it'll fully just go like via
online.
Yep. As cars start to have the internet in it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And as HomePods and all these different devices come into our house with audio, it, absolutely, people still love the concept of radio, thus podcasts still being a massive thing right now, and
yep,
they're only going to grow. So no, it's just radio will change.
Yes.
TV won't die. TV has to change.
And with that say, I still think the income for radio stations will come from clients and advertising. Because I know how much money, I see the numbers of
yeah,
how much, for example, Lexus pays for a 1 month spot,
yeah,
on a drive radio show. It's,
yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah.
And I'll see that and I'm just like, I'm not getting paid enough.
Well, no, that's the thing. It's like, I heard someone say once, and it was like, oh, that's so true. Like, when you do you watch TV sometimes, ever?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you,
yeah,
I mean, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
You sit there and you watch TV, and
yeah,
then what do you do when the commercial comes
on? You go
on
your phone.
You go on your phone. So if I'm sitting here and I'm on my phone, and I'm able to do this, and I'm not watching the commercials,
yeah,
why the fuck is Lexus paying $1 million to the TV? Could you imagine if Lexus put $1 million behind Facebook ads? Like,
yeah,
what's
I heard that Crown Bet put $100,000 a day into Facebook advertising, into,
well, because
digital advertising.
Because it's underpriced.
Yeah.
And it works.
$100,000 a day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, though.
Yeah. Just goes to show
how much people gamble, yeah.
Yeah.
It just shows more and more about Australian culture.
And
than
why
anything.
Not? It's a gamble. But it's a gamble that will guaranteed pay out.
Oh, yeah.
Why would I spend any money on posters? I don't. The promoter does.
But
I end up paying for it.
Venues keep trying to get, like, my Melbourne venue was like, oh, can you send us posters? We'll put it around our venue.
No.
And I'm like, no, because I did that last year, and my fans stole posters.
Yeah, they didn't buy them.
They didn't buy them.
Yeah.
And I was like, no,
yeah,
fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm not sending you posters. I'm
like,
I don't need the poster to fill the room. The room will be filled, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You just supply the mic, put the PA on, I'll fill the room, don't worry about it.
Yeah, they just don't understand it. It's like, we've had a few people that we've been talking to about, like, some tour stuff, and we've been approaching venues, and I won't say the name, but But they come back to us and they're like, oh, we don't think this would fill the room. Like, it's a very, like, we're not confident that you'll be able to fill the room during this time. Maybe try during Brisbane Comedy Festival. And we're like, you cunts are fucking so lost.
Yeah.
I want to give you money
yeah.
to hire your venue.
It doesn't matter if you fill it or not. I mean, they might lose it. If you don't fill it,
bit
the
of bar.
Max, they lose it at bar money. But that's it.
Boo fucking who? I'm giving you $40 billion to hire an all-ages venue, you fucking fool.
Can't you just, like, show them your ticket sales from last year and be like, look.
Oh, no, but it's not for me.
Right.
So it's a bit different, but you can. But then the other fun part is when they ask for posters and they harp on posters, you're able to email them back and go, we're sold out. Don't need, like, I don't need to send you. But people just don't understand how powerful the internet is. That's my one thing. It just annoys me.
Yeah, yeah, no,
that you're still fighting that uphill battle.
It constantly feels like, and even other people doing, like, other comedian stuff don't really understand it still, like, you know what I mean? And then that's met with people just not understanding it is met with lots of people looking down on it just because it's something they don't understand.
Well, it's interesting, you look at that.
And not other performers and stuff, more just like other people in the industry are like, I get it.
So, like, a great example is if you go on the ABC Comedy, I know we're talking about ABC Comedy a lot, but ABC Comedy page, they're using all the tactics, right? They've got the memed videos that it structurally is perfect, the way that it's meant to be. But no one's watching the videos. They're getting like 10 likes on videos, no comments. There's only one video that went viral because it was so awful.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, it's almost comical how such a large brand
can have such little traction online.
Because there's no personality in it. Who the fuck is ABC?
No one wants to support a company. People want to invest in a person like you or I or, you know what I mean, any other person.
And it's off-putting. I don't want to be sold ABC. I can't buy into the Luke Kidgell show on ABC.
For example, there's no one who is a Lad Bible fan.
No.
Despite, you know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about this the other day, because people were like, someone was like, oh, did you just, one of my videos got posted again on Lad Bible recently. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, did you see the comments? It was pretty brutal in the comment section. I'm like, mate, have you looked down any Lad Bible comment section? They don't have fans. So the only people commenting on a Lad Bible video is obviously going to be negative. No one's like, hey, Lad Bible, great content. Keep it up. 8 out of 10. Can't wait till your next upload in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
No one is going to comment positive under a fucking entity or business because how can you connect with that?
No.
How can you connect with this faceless organization?
Yeah.
It's stupid. So, the power of the internet is powerful if done in the right context.
And you can't just follow a blueprint.
Yes, it doesn't work. It
doesn't work
like
that.
You have to have a little bit of personality behind it. There's got to be, like, in between the content, there's got to be me fucking saying dumb shit on my Instagram story.
People know if you're real. Some people actually think the audience are fools. Some people actually, like, make shit, and you watch it and you go, you're a bullshit artist. Like, you are speaking through your teeth. Like, personalities as such, like, they'll put a video up and they're not their authentic self, they're not speaking their truth, and you can just see it and you think, do you really think anyone's watching this and you're fooling anyone by it? Like, you have to be authentic.
I feel like I'm pretty,
you are,
even out of everyone online, like out of just the Australian guys, I feel like I am one of the people who is like, what you see online is like what you get, not even on stage, but like when you meet me personally, like in the meet and greet, I'm like the same guy that I'm my YouTube channel. Would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But like, that's why there's like an adorable dorkiness to it that people fuck with, because it's like we're all adorable dorks, really. It's just you're like, well, this is who I am.
Well, because I think at the start I was trying to become, because I was like, I came in, when I say
adorable, how's that word?
Yeah, no, I'm fucking endearing. So I came in late. I felt like there was already you, Frenchie, Neil, Alex, Lewis, Elliot, and stuff. I felt like at the time, there's no room for me there. I'm the late. I don't want to be coming late to this.
Because there's more.
There's more
coming.
You know what I mean? So now I realise that's not the case. But at the time, I was like, and then I think I was like, I've got to be like them.
Mm.
And then I've released like 3 videos, and I was like, I'm not that though.
Yeah.
I'm not the same as Frenchie. Mm-hmm. I'm not the same as Lewis. I'm not the same as you.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then I was like, I'm just gonna fuck it. Let's do something that I find funny, and then that's the first shit that started to connect with people.
Do you know what I reckon it would be? I don't know. This is probably a controversial thought, but I think especially in that crowd, that collaborations are the worst idea.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because no one's built their brand up enough to be synonymous to go, oh, that's
you. The only reason why it's effective is because we all share each other's videos. When all four of us are in a video together, I'll share it, Lewis will share it, French will share it, and then it gets four times the amount of reach. And that used to be more effective when Facebook's worked. Now if you share a video, it gets like 50 likes. It
doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started using this app called Later, and what I would do is upload the videos to this thing, and it would publish it automatically. Yeah. But I realized, like, even in that, Facebook picks up, because it's published by Later.
Yeah.
Facebook picks that up, and I'm like, these are getting like 20 likes on it. Like, Facebook's so smart that they don't even want you uploading videos to a different platform and then using that platform to upload to Facebook. Yeah. They want you to upload directly to Facebook.
Yeah.
And if you do it any other way, if you try and beat the system,
yeah,
you don't get rewarded for it. Like,
yeah. I don't really necessarily think collabs are the best idea in building a brand, but I also think sometimes if I write a sketch that needs four people,
yeah, okay.
I don't have four friends who want to be in my Facebook video. Whereas if you guys are in town, friends and stuff, we'll be like, hey, I wrote this sketch, I've had it for months, can we just film it, because I need actors. That's mainly why I think we do it. And that's why Lewis is in a lot of my videos, because I'm like, oh, can you play this other character,
because you guys have built
my brother
brand
has a
together.
Job now, like my brother and my friends used to be in the video, right. And I'm like, everyone else grew the fuck up after high school, so the only people who want to be in it is the other guy doing the same stupid thing. Shit as
yeah.
me
yeah.
That's the reason why I get people in the videos.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, hey, you need to deliver a line. Just say this. And I think people think sometimes that, say, if I deliver a line in Ed Lewis's video or Lewis delivers a video of mine, Lewis has written that line for me.
Right.
I think people think, like, if I write Lewis a funny joke in my video, people go, oh, Lewis was funny in that video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I fucking wrote the joke.
Who cares?
I know. But, like, I just feel like
I know.
People are retarded who watch the video. Like, if it's his video and I say something funny, I haven't written that joke, guaranteed.
That's just us being precious, though.
That's true.
I know. I used to be so precious. I was like, fuck you. That was fucking mine. I've said that some point and you fucking ran with it. But at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck, really. Like, whatever. Like, people know you're funny. No, like, what time have you ever watched a comedian and gone... And like doubted that, or if you've got your favorite comedian, they're funny. They can say anything. You've already won them over.
Yeah.
They're not assessing it like we assess it.
That's
they're
true.
Not picking it like that.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's one main thing that I've learned. To sum it all up.
Yes.
Stop giving a fuck about what anyone thinks. Don't care about don't be so. I used to be precious with Instagram upload, and I'd be like, oh no, I can't upload that, or I can't upload this video because it's not that funny, so I probably should just
If I can't think of a funny caption, I'm the worst. I'll edit the photo, I'm like, alright, about to upload it, and then I'll sometimes spend half an hour of my day trying to think of an Instagram caption, and then I just go, what the fuck am I doing?
Exactly.
And I write anything, and it doesn't affect the amount of likes.
It doesn't do anything.
I don't do it anymore. Now I just write the first thing that comes to my fucking head when I open the photo.
Yeah.
But I used to be like, that's not funny, I have to delete.
No, I'll just smash it out. I just want to get ridiculous with it.
Minimum amount of thought into it.
I want you to know
no
that
one gives a fuck.
CBF fucking doing anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When he's saying that, he means that Josh works very hard.
I do. I do. I just don't want to put much thought into it, because they're only going to fucking look at it for 3 seconds. They might double tap it, and then they're going to scroll and keep going.
Yeah.
What's your best friend's name?
Well, I have lots of best friends.
Okay, give me one.
Lewis.
Okay, what was the last thing he uploaded? You can't remember.
I remember because I took the photo.
Okay. Well, see,
we're good buddies. Like,
but that's different, you
know?
Right, so it's
I know.
You just don't.
For
no
example,
one cares.
Like one of my high school mates. Yeah,
can't remember.
I don't give a.
But he sat there and went, "Oh fuck!" Like,
yeah.
Oh, think of the right caption. No one cares. They're just scrolling. That's all we do now. Is just that.
It's fucked.
Anyway,
great. This has made me feel sad. This podcast.
They care, but they only care for 2 seconds.
Yes.
Don't get special.
All right. So, what's the next thing you're gonna do for Josh Wade? So you finish this tour. Boom. You just keep expanding the business.
Yeah, just keep doing.
And do you have a name for your business? What's
this
thing
it's called?
Called
Verve Network.
Verve.
Yeah, Verve. Verve.
Nice.
Meaning gusto, like.
And how come you chose that? Just because
fucking we went through a million names. Like me, my friend Sam and I started it. We were at a pub one night because nothing was on, and we were sort of talking about business. And he's very business minded, and because that's why we got along. And I was like, why don't we just start this? Like, we
So who are the people in this company? It's you, Connor.
No, Connor's not a part of it.
Oh, really?
No, no. Connor only works with Josh Wade, the brand, just the podcast.
Right.
But it's me and Sam, and then we've got a couple of people that work for us, and it's like scaling big. We want to be able to, you know, as soon as we make enough money from a client or something, and a lot of that isn't the talent side. We don't really make any money from the talent side at all. Like, you know, you're only taking a commission from what you've done, and that's hardly anything ever. My goal is to not take really money off a tour, essentially, and use that as a means of income. It's more, I want fucking Under Armour to come to you and us sell them a $500,000 deal, and that's when the percentage matters. But the way that we really make our money is through like digital marketing and brand building. So people pay like a retainer each week, and we help them with their shows or their social media or shit like that.
So you're just like trying to build brands at the moment. Yeah, that's what the
restaurants, fucking hotels. Right. Personalities that are on television.
And how long have you been doing this for?
10 months. Every day. And I will pride myself on saying that there's not been, unless I've had to come away for work, which is hardly ever now, as in this, every single day I've spent in that office. And every single day before that, we spent at a cafe.
Even on Saturdays and Sundays?
Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah. I work harder on a Sunday. Sunday's a harder day.
Well, we're currently recording this on a Saturday.
Public holidays, fucking Easter, Christmas Day, I'll work it all.
Yep.
Absolutely. Because it means if fucking no one else is working, I got a day up on you, cunt.
What a way to end it.
That was a good one.
And I think
I'm going to bed now.
Well, I think that he's going to go to bed for a week. He's been fucking flying out. No, and that's why I admire Josh, and it's why I wanted to have you on the podcast.
Thanks.
So thank you very much for joining me, Josh.
Thanks.
And go check out his podcast if you want an interesting chat. If you enjoyed this one, then you'll definitely enjoy
Peace.
And yeah, go check out his final shows in Sydney. And
you're on a roll.
Guess good luck for your future, not in comedy but in business.
Mm.
So good luck making more money than me.
I don't believe in luck. It's preparation meeting opportunity, my friend.
Well, I meant good preparation.
I know,
meeting opportunity. Yeah, that's
friend.
What I meant. Cool.
You're gonna be big, Luke.
Yeah, thank you.
You are. You remember,
dude,
this.
The other night, like, Josh had a couple of drinks in him, and then he was like, "Man, you're gonna be the biggest thing in Australia if you keep working."
I don't just remember it. Fucking remember it. I said it. I'll happily say it. You know you are. You already know that you are.
I know, but you can't say it like that.
Why not?
Well, I don't
know. Are you ashamed to be the greatest person?
No.
No?
I'm ashamed of failing if I say it.
You can't fail. As soon as you put it out there, and the reason I'm saying it is as soon as you put it out there, now you've got an expectation. Because these cunts are sitting here going, fuck, you better do it.
That's true. Hey, guys, I'm going to be the biggest thing in Australia. See, I've fucked myself.
No.
Now I'm about to go have a lot of preparation meeting opportunity, my friend.
You go.
All right, let's do it. All right, thank you very much for listening. There's probably still tickets on sale for my tour. Go buy them. Bye.